All right, so we're live, CWCBE, first day, all kinds of things popping, and everyone, the crowd in the field is a little bit different in Boston on the East Coast than it is in Cali when we just did CWCBE Los Angeles. And definitely a little chilly, but actually weather is good, and I'm definitely psyched to be on the East Coast. First thing I had to do is for sure go get some pizza, some little East Coast fucking slices of love to remind me of what it is that I miss back here on the East Coast, that's for sure.
Good call.
I got my boy from Lucid Green. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right, Andrew.
Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself, let's say before you started jumping into the cannabis industry.
You got it.
What'd you do before that?
You got it. So I'm an analytics guy by trade. I started that whole track at a company called Urchin Software. We were acquired by Google in April of 2005 and turned into Google Analytics.
Okay.
A lot of people are familiar with Google Analytics.
Absolutely. And it's a lot to understand all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, analytics is really crazy because you just think about computers punching or doing these algorithms to try to figure out what people like, what people do, things like that. And it's definitely an interesting field to be in.
Yeah, right. It's fascinating. I mean, I see what's evolving in the cannabis industry as very similar to the early days in analytics.
Okay.
My my initial pitch, we're talking back in 1999, 2000, I had to call somebody who had an online, you know, store or a website, convince them they needed to have analytics, and then convince them that mine was the best, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Seems pretty obvious at this point to people, but back then, you know, it's very similar to the cannabis industry. It's, you know, coming out of its infancy, and people are starting to realize the power of data and the ability to build products according to the market you're actually trying to target.
Sure.
Rather than the other way around, I have these products, let me find a buyer.
Now, what kind of analytics, let's just talk about prior to this, and you're doing Google Analytics, what kind of stuff were you concentrating on?
Well, we started out with just, you know, are people coming to my site? So way back, early 2000s, it was just, are people coming here? What pages are they looking at? And overall kind of server side stuff. What pages are being delivered?
Okay.
But it evolved really quickly into, I want to talk about individuals now. I want to understand the individuals that are coming.
Okay.
And did they come back? So they came to our site, they clicked on this keyword, they came back four more times, and then they bought this.
Okay.
That's important to understanding how to actually drive sales, right?
Sure.
So, you know, the evolution of analytics is really fascinating, and I've seen it repeat itself over and over in the industry.
Sure.
What happened maybe 4 years ago with one of my successive analytics companies was data science, right? So big data. You're talking about, you know, the entirety of your business data rolling into a huge database.
Okay.
That used to be the realm of the equivalent to the server administrator. So,
okay.
You know, you had to call somebody up and say, run me a report for blah, blah, and blah.
Sure.
What Google Analytics did for online analytics is put that kind of information in the hands of regular users, a marketer, you know, somebody on the board, a CEO.
I got you.
And so we saw that happening with big data as well. That was my last company. Now, what's interesting is in the middle of building this last company, which was called Conduce, we're talking big supply chain data, data visualization. It's very cool. That company was actually...
And what do you mean by data visualization? I got kind of lost. I've never heard that word before.
It's just as it sounds. So it's taking data and plotting it visually. So what we found is, and studies have shown that...
So give an example of something that's plotted visually, because I'm still a little...
For
the layman and people that don't understand.
You got it. People recognize patterns better visually than they do in, say, a spreadsheet, right?
Okay, yeah.
So when I'm working with a company, one of our partners was DHL.
Okay,
massive,
that's a good example.
Massive warehouse, right?
Absolutely.
So instead of looking at a million row spreadsheet of data about all my forklifts rolling through, all the packages coming in and going out, all the people rolling through, and perhaps we have an incident where somebody got hit by a forklift or there was a close call, and I want to look back in that data and understand what happened.
Sure.
I can, the old way is I call down to a data analyst and say, show me what happened. Run me a report, because it's just rows and rows and rows of data. The way that we did it is we would plot that data on the substrate of the actual warehouse floor.
Okay.
And data would start moving across the screen. You'd see a little icon of a forklift coming around the corner.
Okay.
You see an icon of a little dude coming around the corner, and then was close.
Okay.
So I can rewind it and go back. So that was my last company. Now, what's cool about that is it was actually born out of a movie called Minority Report.
I remember, was that Tom Cruise?
Yeah. So that, you know, waving your hands and all the data rolling through.
Okay.
Really cool product. My my partner and one of the founders of Conduce was actually at the MIT Media Lab with his partner, John Underkoffler. Steven Spielberg called him and said, can you make me a really cool looking computer for this new movie I'm making with Tom Cruise?
Oh, that's tight. That's fucking wild.
Isn't it? And so,
but he didn't actually make one that's functional. He made it seem like it was functional,
well,
right?
That's the coolest part is when Spielberg said, okay, what do we do for visual effects? They said, it actually works. Just film it. And one of the guys was laying underneath the table doing the hand gestures.
Wow.
The actual data was uploaded, and Tom Cruise was following the hand gestures and actually moving that stuff.
Oh, wow. That's fucking wild. That's great.
And it gets even cooler. So get the somebody from Boeing was watching the movie.
Okay.
They got Underkoffler and Kevin's information at the, you know, in the credits.
Okay.
Called them up and said, hey, guys, can you really do that? And they said, it's real.
And is that how Boeing kind of incorporated into their aviation techniques when you see that all in movies later on? What year was Minority Report?
Oh, geez. You're testing my movie knowledge here.
That's why we've got Google.
Yeah, there you go. You can look it up. So as you're looking up that fun fact, I'll go further into how I got into the cannabis side. So in the middle of this company, you know, building Conduce and working with this data visualization, I had a pretty catastrophic accident. I broke my leg in 17 places.
Oh, wow.
Skiing in Montana. So this wasn't...
2002,
beautiful. Great. Well, we've got a little segue into the movie trivia.
Yeah, and the great part is that... that's a long time ago when they didn't even have anything close to that type of technology. So that's what, it's just like cool to just think about that. You know?
It's incredible. I mean, it's
and now
really
they have
taken
those,
that long.
You know, like touch screens and this and everything is so different. It's a lot easier to mimic and everything now these days than it was back then.
That's right.
You broke your, in 17, that sounds very painful.
Yeah, it was not only painful, it was more than inconvenient, right? It wasn't one of those, well, I'm laid up for 6 weeks. It was, you know, pretty close to a life and death scenario. They were going to amputate about 5 days.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow, that's scary.
It was pretty intense. And I was in the hospital in Montana for 8 days. Then they flew me home because once they decided they weren't going to cut the leg off, they didn't know how to fix it.
Oh, wow.
So as luck would have it, there was a guy in Boston at Beth Israel Hospital, Kevin Rodriguez. He's an absolute savant. He could put me back together again. So they flew me home on a Meta flight, and I was in the hospital for another 10 or so days. So 18 days in the hospital total. Not surprisingly, when I came out, I was on a huge dose of opiates. I was on 48 milligrams of Dilaudid.
Oh, wow.
48 milligrams of Dilaudid is 2.5 times the clinical definition of opiate dependency.
Wow. And like once you take something like that once, you're just once, twice, right? You're done as far as the fact that to feel better, it's to stop feeling like nauseous and sick and your body starts like, right?
That's it. Oh, yeah.
It's not that you're doing it because you enjoy it.
No.
It's because your body almost aches.
Oh, yeah.
In pain.
Believe me.
My
leg certainly did. But you're right. The rest of your body starts to depend on it, too, right? So,
sure.
So, look, in fairness to my caregivers, I needed it. I had 17 broken bones.
Oh,
I had 23 screws, 3 plates.
Oh, my God.
And,
it was
nuts, right?
So, crazy.
So, now, if you picture this scenario, and we all know the dangers of opiates, but I'm coming out of the hospital on a dose that an addict needs to use now because it doesn't work for them anymore, right? So this is clinical dependency at 2.5 times the definition.
And how long had you been on it?
So this was 18 days, right? So day one out of the hospital, I'm on this dose. I'm supposed to be on for, you know, say 4 months or so. And look, I don't even like to take Advil. I've never been afraid of cannabis, but I'm not really a big fan of sure. prescription drugs. So I decided right away I didn't want to be a statistic.
Absolutely.
I heard you could get off of opiates using cannabis.
Uh-huh.
And if you remember 2.5 years ago, this is still pretty nascent, right?
Absolutely.
And so I started reading. I started, you know, as a data guy, I dug into the data. I read everything I could read. I had a buddy mailing me chocolates and gummies from California.
Okay.
Which we know is...
Yeah, whatever, but still. Yeah, but were you still on it or you're transitioning? Were you off opiates?
No. This is day, you know, on day three, I started this experimentation. And again, this is 2.5 years ago. So I didn't have a guide.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't have, this is how you do it.
Now, did you do the gummies instead of the pills?
I did gummies and chocolate, which is just what
you're
I had access to.
You're a fucking animal. That's great, though.
Yeah.
So that's great.
I started experimenting.
And did it help you not have
aches
or feelings for the opiates and shit when
yeah.
you were taking that? Like,
yeah.
It kind of like didn't matter, right? You're all right.
It was unbelievable. And I'll say it was a transition and it was a learning process. So
sure.
I started on day one. My wife is absolutely freaking out because she thinks I'm going to kill myself by combining these two things.
Oh, wow.
Which is ironic because yeah. I was literally trying to not kill myself
from the other thing. Yeah.
Yep. And
you, at least you had the foresight to think about all those things in a time when people weren't even thinking or knowing about it.
Yeah. And look, in fairness to her, I look like a zombie, right? I'm on a dose that puts me close to death. And she's coming down and looking at me going, how am I going to trust this guy to take the right amount and do the right and
sure,
do the research and
sure,
understand this?
Sure.
And granted, I was, you know, I was certainly not myself, but I was so focused on trying to figure this out that I was able to do it. So in four weeks, I was able to titrate completely off of opiates.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then that gets to a little bit of what...
So I built this product as a consequence of that. And there's one more important piece
sure.
of how this story came to be. And that
okay.
was, and I want to give a shout out to the folks in my town of West Newbury in Newburyport,
Massachusetts. West Newbury in the house. Hell yeah.
My sister put together a GoFundMe page because, get this, the flight was not covered by insurance.
Sure.
So a flight from Montana in a Metaflight Learjet, because it's going to take 4 hours.
Because they have to get you there no matter what.
They have to get me there. It was $25,000.
Oh, man.
So my sister put together a GoFundMe page, thinking she'd take the sting out of it, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 and take some of the sting out. My town, my friends, my family raised $25,000 in 3 days.
That is fucking great.
Unbelievable.
Shout out to all the local people that supported something that they felt was right.
Yeah.
And help you subset, not even have to worry about that crazy bill that they sent you. That's fucking awesome. Yep. And then you started.
Yep. So guys from Paul Botto and the Botto family, thank you. Thank you very, very much. I mean, I can't express how much of an impact that made on me. And Andrew, honestly, it was like almost worth the accident.
Sure.
I
don't know about that. 17 broken things, screws, yeah. blah, blah, blah. But I would forego that.
Yeah.
But
look, it's part of the story now.
There's
it
a
is
lot of
good-hearted
people out there. That's what that means.
It was incredible. And so, as a consequence, Andrew, when I get out of the hospital, I had all these people dropping by. I mean, I had two towns worth of people who had, you know, invested in getting me better.
Yeah.
So they come by a couple of days out of the hospital and they see me like a zombie on the edge of death.
Yeah.
3 weeks later, I'm crutching through the gym.
And they're like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah. They're like, what are you doing here? You were dead 3 weeks ago. How are you here? And I just said, cannabis. This
wow.
is real. This is
wow.
not, you know, just a bunch of stoners
looking
to get a fix.
Absolutely.
This is real.
No, yeah, for
and,
sure.
And so I made a commitment then to myself and to all of those people that this is my next company. I'm going to get involved and I'm going to use data to help this industry
and you
get
started
better.
Lucid Green.
And I started Lucid Green. These people start calling me, all these folks that saw me and saw this transformation. Hey, my 86-year-old grandmother doesn't want to take her back meds anymore. What should she take? Hey, I've got a knee surgery coming up. What should I take instead of my pain meds? And I said, you know, it's got to be a lot easier to access this information for the average consumer.
Sure.
You can't expect somebody to do the level of research that I did. I was on my back for 3 weeks, and I'm a data guy. But we got to make this easier. So what we created was an icon that goes onto the package.
In the form of a QR code.
It's a QR code. It's very recognizable. And what's cool is iOS and Android have native QR code reading now. So you can just point your Apple phone, for example, open up the camera, and the camera automatically recognizes the QR code.
That's what I heard.
And so you don't need an app to use Lucid Green. You just point your camera at the icon, and it goes to three really important pieces of information.
Okay.
One, what's it gonna do to me?
Okay.
So potency, usage recommendations straight from the brand. This is
okay.
What we made.
Sure.
This is how we expect it to affect you.
Okay.
Now, the second page is a bit of a reality
check. And the second they
check.
Scan it, these pages pop up into your phone.
You'll get a little link right in the camera that pops up and says Lucid Green. You click on it and it goes to that page.
Wow.
Yep. It's pretty amazing. And every time I show
it, pretty cool.
People kind of step back and go, wow, that's amazing. That's just automatic.
That's awesome.
So what's it going to do to me? First page. The second page is that real? So it's what are people saying about it? Editorial reviews at the top, user reviews at the bottom. So here's
nice.
What the brand says it's going to do.
Sure.
But here's what it actually does to people just like you.
Yeah, and then anybody could add their own commentary right there from it.
That's right. So
interesting. Now, when it does it from the photograph, does it then take you into a web browser, or what
yep.
exactly happens?
It to just be clear, you don't actually have to take a photograph. You just point the camera
just
at
point it,
and the URL pops up.
Pops up.
And then you click into
I've actually seen a dude that showed me that, and it was pretty tight. It was his business card.
Yeah.
And you put your phone over it, and all of a sudden it actually imported it into your contacts for you to save it.
Yeah.
That was pretty wild.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. QR codes are coming back into favor. It's really obvious the industry's moving back towards that. They're putting native QR code reading in iOS
and
Android.
Yeah, I like that. That's tight.
In China, last year, $3 trillion exchanged using just QR codes. It's huge everywhere else.
Wow.
In the U.S., it was actually stymied by Apple because they wanted people to use the app ecosystem, right?
So explain that to me.
Because
QR
codes launch you into an experience online, right?
Because it takes you to the web. It's not taking
right.
you to a specific app.
So now you don't have to buy
it. So it bypasses that. Sure, I got
right?
you.
So now that so Apple's clearly moving back into the QR code
they are.
Ecosystem. So is Android.
And what was the reasoning?
Well,
popularity.
You'll have to ask Apple that.
Sure.
But I think overwhelming popularity and the utility of this worldwide. A lot of businesses are using QR codes to kick off an experience.
Hell yeah.
And retail information and the things that we're doing here with Lucid Green.
That's awesome, bro. Do you have a website for anybody to check out, Instagram or anything of that nature?
Yeah, we do. It's lucidgreen.io.
Okay, awesome. And Instagram?
Instagram is
Facebook.
Lucidgreen.io.
Okay.
Lucidgreen.io on Facebook as well.
Awesome.
And just to be clear, we're just coming out of the gate. We're launching with brands at the end of this month.
Awesome.
In Colorado and Washington.
Sweet.
Soon
any
to
shout
be
out to any brands specifically?
Sure. Shout out to Incredibles.
Oh, my boy Incredibles.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know them very well. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Best edibles brand in Colorado.
Absolutely.
We've got a slew of great edibles brands that are we're in talks with right now. We're about to put them on the board as well. We got 14er in Colorado.
Nice.
The 14er guys, the best flower producers I've ever seen. These guys are selling flower at twice what everybody else is, and that's pretty hard in a market with a glut of flower.
Yeah, well, if you're in the Colorado recreational market and you're above 21, right? Is it 18 or 21? I think it's probably 21.
I believe it's 21.
Yeah, you can check these guys out. Thank you so much, brother, for coming on Purple Haze Radio. Any shout-outs to any friends, family, or anybody last minute before we cut off?
Listen, shout-out to the Lucid Green crew. Shout-out to our partners and our soon-to-be partners in the Colorado, Washington, California, Massachusetts market.
Oh, yeah.
Look for the Lucid Green symbol on packages.
Hell
coming
yeah.
soon.
Yeah, man. I'm actually, one cool thing about this specific convention, it's attached to this wild mall where there's like all kinds of food and crazy snacks and all kinds of shit to do. So I think we'll go hit the vaporizer pen, do a little puff tuff, and then go grab a little snacky, and we'll be back. CWCBE Boston. Peace.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
So we're back, CWCBE Boston, everybody walking around, checking out all the different booths, all the great different people in the industry that we have to talk to. And we have a very interesting conversation with a buddy who, there's so many different things you do in the cannabis industry. This is a more technology based, and we got John Griffith, founder and CEO of Ask Our Bot. What's up, my man? How you doing today?
Good morning.
You a native of the area, or?
We're located in the Boston area. I'm actually originally from the Philly market, so I go back and forth.
Okay, but an East Coast man, because we got so many different people coming in to the show and checking out different things and being a part of the industry. And what'd you do prior to this? Let's get into that for a second.
I spent the last 20, 25 years doing search engine optimization, helping companies show up more highly in Google, especially, and that's been the big focus over the last, like I said, couple decades. I've been doing it longer than most people have.
So, is it like if you wanted to be higher up on Google search or something like that? Is that what you do, or to break it down to a layman or someone who doesn't really understand?
Right, that's what we used to do. It used to be so important if you were a company and somebody searched for you or searched for what you did, that you showed up as closely as you could to the top of the Google search results.
Sure.
But what's happened recently is that we've become more and more mobile, and that's become less important. And new technologies like chatbots, which we started talking about a little bit earlier, have really kind of started to take place of search engine ranking.
Now, they're also taking place of people for customer services purposes, right? Like when you go on a website and it says, click here for online help. A lot of times you kind of think it's a human, but it's actually these educated bots.
Right.
And for layman purposes, mm-hmm. what is a bot?
A bot is really simply just a piece of software that's designed to act like a person talking to another person.
Okay.
And so a lot of times when you go to a website, you see that thing down in the lower right-hand corner and you click on it. Sometimes it's a chat bot. Sometimes it's a live person.
Sure.
What we find most of the times, it's just a complex form for you to put in your name and phone number and email address, because they're just trying to capture your data.
Sure.
So chatbots are really there because 65% of millennials would rather talk to a chatbot than talk to a person when it comes to that initial customer service inquiry.
Yeah, because they just want their quick answer in this, and if it's more complicated, then they're like, fuck it, I want to talk to a human.
Well,
right?
Think about it. We're walking around constantly connected. We can get answers. If I want to say, what's the average rainfall in Bangladesh, I can get the answer in 3 seconds. So the days of me wanting to go and search and find the page and dig
in Bangladesh,
PDF,
you're talking about a lot of rainfall.
But the point is
monsoon season.
But the point is, I can know it right away, right? And so people
Absolutely.
Want information as fast as possible. And so what we want to try to do with chatbots is we want to help companies better connect with their customers. Right?
Okay.
Because if you have a website, you get a website, right?
Yeah.
You probably spend a lot of time and effort and energy trying to get people to come to your website.
In our case, because we're a radio media, it's like we use that as a drive for people to use it as a tool for reference, what shows, what we got going on, things like that. I don't know how much we're out there pushing to get people to go to the site in our case, but I know how important it is to most businesses.
I think for almost every business, yours probably included, we want to connect with people beyond the 9 to 5, beyond the 3 hours that we're on the air. We want to give people 24/7, 365 access to whatever it is that we want to talk to them about.
And how do you know what to tell the bot, what it should know or not know?
Well, it's interesting. When we start with a client, we start with their 15 most frequently asked questions.
Okay.
And then we create 6 variations of each of those questions. So you actually start off with 90 initial conversational threads, if you will.
Okay.
And so those are what we're going to start with, is just, gosh, what are the questions that most people ask most of the time?
And you're catering to creating a bot for people that have cannabis businesses that... people inquiring for questions, this is just a quick utilization of explaining common facts and other information.
24/7, 365 customer service available across every single channel in over 100 different languages, in our case for about $50 a month. I don't think you can touch it. I don't think you can.
Now, what you've done is created one that would answer you know, things about laws and cannabis and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's so
you,
fun.
You created it. You created an initial one for people to see.
Yeah.
So then that way they can see how they would like to apply it to their cannabis-friendly site. Because even if there are guys making these bots per se, you have to go to a guy, one, that would want to do it and also know what to help you with question-wise and what would be the best, you know, things that you would implement, right, into your personalized bot. Now, is it easy for someone to just go out and get a bot or do it? Or, like, are you kind of coming up with something that's a little bit more unique? Well, in this industry,
what we did is we launched 420chatbots.com, and on 420chatbots.com we have Bud the chatbot, and Bud the
chatbot.
Shout
out to Bud the chatbot.
Bud the chatbot is so cool, but Bud can answer basically anybody's questions about the CBD or 420 laws, cultivation laws, in all 50 states, and it's just an example to show people how this technology can be used to help their business and help them explain their most frequently asked questions.
Sure. Sure, that's great. Now, do you have a website to for people to check out? Is it the 420chatbots.com?
420chatbots. All the information is there. Contact form is there. We have some introductory specials going on right now as we start to launch this this service into the 420 industry.
Okay, cool, cool.
And we're great. We're glad to really be here at the show, walking around, talking to a lot of people. A lot
of
people,
man,
really excited about chatbot technology. And
sure.
I mean, it's such a cool industry because...
What kind of stuff have you seen walking around that you liked so far?
I think a lot of, you know, both the services sides, there's a lot of folks here that are doing kind of the business services stuff that I do, but also a lot of, like, new equipment, new technology. That's the stuff that rings my bell. When it's new and improved and different,
sure.
I like it.
Sure. Yeah, hell yeah, man. Any shout-outs to any friends or family or anybody out there?
No, we're good.
We're good. No friends or family.
Yeah.
Yeah, your mom's going to be pissed. She's like, listen to this. You're like, why the fuck did you say mom?
Actually, I should throw a shout out to Maggie Hamray, who's our VP of sales. And so Maggie can't be here today, but
shout out to you, Maggie, and stuff. And yeah, so if you guys are, whether it's cannabis or not, you offer this great bot, which is a human-like person to help with customer service.
Yeah, and you asked before about, you know, can people do this themselves? And they certainly can. I've been doing this stuff, like I said before, a long, long time.
Sure.
And I, like, when websites first started, right, people could build it themselves, but the vast majority of businesses
aren't going to
build it themselves.
They go to somebody who could do it and this and yeah.
And it's the same thing with chatbots.
Yeah.
Chatbots are, you can go out and find tools right now. There's nobody doing what we're doing, which is doing it as a full service
and
solution.
And customization to specific questions.
Correct.
And answers and stuff, which is cool. Thank you, man, for doing what you do. I hope you enjoy the rest of the show. Really great to interview some East Coast people moving and shaking and doing what they do. And
talking fast.
Yeah, and we'll be back. We'll be back with our next guest in a little bit.
Thanks,
Peace.
Andrew.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
All right, so we're back, CBE Boston. People cruising around, checking out all the different cool things we have, and it's always great to. I know everybody's so busy exhibiting and doing things at their booths, but it's nice when I could grab a couple guys who are already attending the show and doing their thing. I got Jacob Weiner and I got Chad Weiner. You guys are brothers?
Yes, we are.
That
all
we
right.
are.
So let me, before we start getting into, I always kind of get into this before. We get into what it is you guys actually do. What'd you do before you got into the cannabis industry?
I went to college.
All right.
The University of Rhode Island.
Oh, nice. Rhode Island. Shout out to Rhode Island. And you?
I went to University of Rhode Island for a year, dropped out, went into sales, and then we started this whole thing.
Oh, man. So you guys are entrepreneuring. So in Rhode Island became medical a while ago.
Like, yep.
People don't realize that Rhode Island was actually... the first true East Coast,
yeah, it's unbelievable.
You know, state to say, yo, we're down with the weed. You
yeah.
know what I mean? And shout out to all my guys and girls that go to URI.
Yep.
Is that what it is? University of Rhode Island.
University of Rhode Island.
And is it 18 or 21 to smoke in Rhode Island?
21.
It's 21.
21 to consume. It's decriminalized, or it was. I don't know if they passed the rec bill yet.
How are they, like, sticklers on campus? Or are they kind of cool if you have your medical card, they can't fuck with you? Or, like, what goes down?
It's tough to say. You know, if you're in a residential building, the RAs may come and get
you. And be a dick. But even if the RA is legally, right, if you're a medical patient though, they can't, right? Isn't there some rulings about that the colleges have to accept?
It's still on a college campus. I mean, they own the campus
and they can do whatever the fuck they want.
They're allowed to say whatever they want, so they can hit you with that fine, say get off of campus and do your own thing or whatever. But
well, what it comes down to is that, you know, they get federal grants.
Okay. So they don't want to jeopardize that trip.
Right. And so they obviously can't allow it in any way, shape, or form, but...
So that's cool. And you guys, young, entrepreneuring, jumping into the cannabis industry. Yep. That's fucking great, dude. And, like, you're coming to a business convention like this, coming in from Rhode Island, and you're seeing all these people in all these different industries and stuff, and then you guys are, like, you know, a lot of older people you notice, like, around here and stuff, and then you guys are coming in strong. Fucking millennials, right? I would say fall in the millennial range. Let's talk about what you're doing.
Definitely. So we're in the hemp CBD space at this point, with the ambition and the desire to eventually migrate into the marijuana space itself.
Sure.
But, you know, with the intention of learning and getting as far as we possibly can in the hemp space itself before we'd make that jump. And so we have quite a few products on our lineup, most notably our hemp shots and eventually our water once we get that fully launched.
Okay, let's talk about the hemp shots. What do we got? What flavors? What's the name of the brand?
Yeah, so the brand is HQO. Stands for High Quality Options for the water and the hemp shots. It initially stood for high quality oil, but as we moved into the hemp shots and the water, we actually got away from an oil because of the way the nano works, it's clustered in a water and it's no longer an oil.
And so also, oil and water don't really mix that well.
Of course. Now you said a certain sound term, nano. Let's explain that for people who don't know, one, what it is that you guys are doing CBD, let alone talk about what the nano process does to that.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about what that is.
Yeah, so the nano, you know, is in simple layman's terms, you know, they take the CBD molecule and they break it down to give it more surface area. And at the same time, they increase the bioavailability because they are breaking it down to a smaller space that can be almost immediately absorbed.
That's tight.
Rather than going through the digestive tract, you avoid that and it gets absorbed, you know, whether in the mouth and the throat as it goes down, but you avoid that whole process of breaking it down in the gut.
That's pretty wild. And you got a bunch of different flavors.
Yeah.
And then Chad, what are you working on? I know you're doing some separate projects.
Yeah, so we've gotten into the extraction side of things. So we have an extraction lab opening up in 3 weeks' time.
In Rhode Island?
Actually in Colorado.
Oh,
right,
Colorado,
in Grand Junction.
Okay, nice. Nice area.
Yeah, absolutely. So that'll be opening up and we'll be able to process basically 1 million pounds of wet or dry biomass, which has never been seen before.
Okay.
It's state-of-the-art technology that allows
the
wet.
All CBD?
All CBD, for now, until we get into the actual cannabis
and
industry.
And then you guys are going to be utilizing those products
and manufacturing
from the company in Rhode Island, or no? Will that put stuff out also, or are you guys, like, collaborating, or is it, like, you're repping Colorado and you got Rhode Island? What's the deal?
So, you know, we should clarify that, you know, we went to school in Rhode Island, but we are from the great city of Philadelphia.
All right. Shout out to Philly. Shout out where the company's from is essentially from Philly.
Okay. Exactly.
Shout out to my boys in Philly.
We'll use all the extraction in Colorado.
Home of the cheesesteak.
Oh, absolutely.
You
go birds.
Go, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we use the extraction in Colorado. We'll obviously sell it to more business owners so they can use it in their products, but we'll also take that extraction and make our own products from it.
Okay.
We have another line for Colorado Brands Direct, which is basically telling you that all of the hemp, the extraction, and the product is all made and manufactured in Colorado.
Okay, great.
Same thing with California, and we're moving into Oregon and all the rest as well.
Is there a website for people to check that stuff out, or you guys
there
have?
There is.
Okay, cool. What is it?
Hempicated.com.
All right, Hempicated.com. You guys got a little Instagram or anything?
Yes, we do.
Because I know you guys
all at Hempicated.
All right, what about Facebook?
All that, everything's
Hempicated.
YouTube,
we have too, or no?
No, not yet. Right. We're getting there. We're doing the reviews.
I gotta keep up on you guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, we have about 12,000 followers on Instagram now.
Nice.
We're hitting those big numbers, so
that's
pretty impressive.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
And when did you start that?
a year ago, a year and a month ago.
Yeah, so that's pretty good, man. You guys have got your hustle on for sure.
Absolutely.
And adding all the Instagram people to what you got going on, and that's fucking cool. And Jake, you got any shout-outs, any friends, family, anybody you want to give a little shout-out to?
Oh, I got a shout-out. My our third business partner, Tyler, he's on his pharmacy rotation, so he'll be our official pharmacist within the next year.
Oh, nice.
So that way we'll be able to definitely do some.
And he's a hometown Philly boy as well, or what?
No, he is Foxborough, Massachusetts, born and raised.
All right, so shout-out to all my people in Foxborough, Massachusetts, doing their thing.
Yep.
And fucking moving around and shaking. And absolutely. And then so what do you guys think overall, like, getting into this whole cannabis business industry? Do you find it's very competitive, friendly? I mean, what's the feel?
I mean, I've been having the time of my life, just truthfully. I have, but it is a very competitive space. But you meet all the people at these shows, whether it's another booth that's selling the same product as you, or even just the people walking around that are opening a store, or growers and anything. Just everybody's really friendly. It's a real laid-back community.
Yeah, that's cool. And do you find that that a lot of younger people are trying to find their niche into stuff? And then the question is, did you guys like put this all together with your own loot, or were you ingenious enough to like put something out to an investor to help back you, or what's the deal?
Definitely. Initially when we got in, we put in all our own funds. Our main goal was we wanted to stay away from as many investors as possible.
Okay.
The reason being is that we wanted to run our business to help people and to give people a product that they would like and enjoy.
Sure.
And we didn't want somebody outside telling us where we had to go, where we had to turn, because we were using their money.
Okay.
We want to stay as far away from that as possible if we can.
Nice. Till today, or did you still get a little infusion?
We got
our
a little infusion from that.
Okay. But family, though. Not
family, yeah.
Yeah, so not an outside source.
Correct.
Our dad owns BMJ Group, which is the leading credit card processor in the industry.
Okay,
we
nice.
Also started CBD Oil Maps. So
okay,
it's kind
sweet.
Of just been a giant family thing.
All right,
thing.
So let's give a shout out to Dad, CBD Oil Maps.
Yep.
And what is that?
Well, we can have the owner of that come on, or I can give you a little rundown.
Well, we could definitely have the owner of that come down and check it out as well, but give a shout-out. What is it?
Yeah, so CBD Oil Maps is kind of like the weed maps, but for CBD. It's a review system, so it reviews all the companies, their products, how they respond, customer service,
nice.
Little things like that. So we just want to connect, whether it's another company looking for products for their own store or it's a customer, we want to connect them with the best possible company out there on the market.
Did you guys already graduate? You already done or what? Are you still got a little bit more time or what?
I'm done. I've been done going on my second year, which is awesome.
And you?
I'm 21. I dropped out when I was 19. And
okay, but still, entrepreneuring, whatever it is you got to do.
I'm just focused on my business.
I think it's very commendable, man. A lot of people don't have at least cool parents do to support an entrepreneurial business, and I think that that's fucking awesome, bro. You know, because a lot of people trying to do what they can do and want to start their own businesses and don't have the drive, let's say, the passion to do something like that, because if you fail, you could lose a lot, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I totally agree with that, and on that point, it's important to say that our company started with about $1,000.
Sure.
And we're going from there. So we really, it was more about the drive.
And it's also to let people know, you can fucking do it. Don't think that
absolutely.
You can. When there's a possibility in starting your own life, starting your own career, looking at different industries, you can work for the man or you can be the man in a sense, you know? So
absolutely.
Thank you guys, man, so much. And I hope while you guys have been, I don't know if you guys got to smoke any West Coast flavors to know what the Cali buds and shit are like.
We were out in LA, where I was.
I definitely looking forward to taking a little break and smoking some of the East Coast shit.
Absolutely.
Let's go Puff Tuff.
Thank you.
Hello, bit of snack. And thank you guys for coming on. I hope you
Andrew,
guys enjoyed the
you.
Show. And definitely check out these guys' products and check out their websites, Instagrams, and all you millennials out there trying to figure out what to do with your life. You should check out these guys. They're definitely doing the right thing. So, all right, man. We'll see you guys later.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank
Peace.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.